Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. So welcome and thank you for being here with us today. We're so glad that you're joining us. Last week was quite a challenge for us. Technically, there was terrible thunderstorms around here and power loss in different parts of the area, community, internet down, all sorts of very funny things going on. But thank God the word of God is never bound. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And thank God the Lord still ministered to us and he imparted life to us. And I'm very excited about this service today. I'm not sure, Pastor Emmanuel, if you have that. Do you have that document, that LICC Global and African Missions thing? Can you put that up for me for those who are online? I want everyone to see that. Towards the end of the service, I'm going to have us spend it. I wanted us to do this last week, but somehow, because of everything going on, we couldn't get to it. So I want us to do it today, towards the end of the service, when I get close to finishing. I'm going to have us do that today, and then next week, I'm going to have us do it one more time, and probably before the end of the year, one more Sunday, I'll have us do it one more time as well, just because of the significance, the importance of this. So if you have that, this is something, it's something that we were praying about earlier on in the year, really fervently seeking the Lord for. And, we started working on it out there in Ghana. So, you know, there's been a lot of back and forth, but finally, the Lord did give us that open door. And this got registered in the nation of Ghana to enable us do the things that the Lord assigns us to do in the continent of Africa. So that's called ALICC African and Global Missions. And it's registered by the nation, by the government of Ghana. And that's our open door there. Obviously, there are a number of things that the Lord would have us do in the continent, which we've been doing for many years, but you know, when he started quickening us towards the end of last year to really make it official, just pretty much like what we did in India. You know, you could go in there and do things here and there. And, but once you have that official legal open door, that's an open door that helps you until Jesus comes. Until Jesus comes to be able to do a lot of what the Lord has whatever he'll lead us to do, humanitarian missions, charitable missions, school of ministry, conferences, church planting, all of that stuff will be covered by that. So towards the end of the service, I'll give you about 5 prayer points, and we're going to thank God for Pastor Stella too, who worked very hard on this, back and forth with the government, to help us get this registered. So we'll pray about that towards the end. Amen. But we're truly thankful. I said we're truly thankful. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, let's get into the Word of God today. I'm really excited to build on where we started from last week. And I want us to continue our teaching, our series of teachings on the theme, prayer is the open door to the supernatural. Prayer is the open door to the supernatural flow. And there are probably just 3 major things that I want to share with us today. And I trust God I would build around that as we go. And some of that we started talking about last week. But let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Amen. Amen. We despaired even of life. This is Paul talking. So if you have some trouble, just remember, trouble is common. Trouble is not an uncommon thing. If you have any kind of tribulation, any kind of difficulties that you are experiencing, it is not uncommon for the people of God at all. Tribulation, trouble, affliction, persecution, these are things that the Lord tells us to be prepared for. Not because we have no power to get through it, but that He's already made a preparation to deliver us. He guarantees our deliverance. But those tribulations, those afflictions, those persecutions, at the end of the day, actually add to us. They add to us. Remember in James chapter 1, he says, you know, count it all joy. Yes. Count it all joy regarding the things, when you are afflicted, trials and tribulations and all of that, temptations. He says, because this, let me read it so we have it accurately. It says, count it all joy, James 1 verse 2, when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, but let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And while you are going through it, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. Amen. Amen. In the Amplified, it says, consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance, steadfastness, and patience. But let endurance, steadfastness, and patience have full play, and let them do a thorough work, so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. Simple translation. This is working for my good. Amen. This is working for your good. Amen. Whatever you are going through, whatever you are dealing with, it is working for your good. Amen. Hallelujah. It will add something to you at the end of the day. Now, when you are going through it, though, it can be very challenging. It can be tough. Paul said, he said, we were pressed out of measure, above strength, in so much that we despaired even of life itself. You know, there are some things you can go through that make you sometimes wonder if you will make it through it, if you will come out alive on the other end of it. This was one of those things. So we despaired even of life. He said, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Hallelujah. Amen. God who raises the dead. He said, we came to a point where we concluded, even though we despaired for life, we concluded God raises the dead. He has the ability to raise the dead. And even if we come out on the other side, and this life that we are despairing of is taken away, God can restore that life to us. Amen. God can restore that life to us. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And that does something to your confidence. God raises the dead. God raises the dead. God raises the dead. Amen. Hallelujah. So don't fret. Don't stress over it. Even when it seems like the life has been taken off, when it feels like you hit the end of the road, God raises the dead. Always remember that. God raises the dead. God raises the dead. Amen, amen. He said in verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death? And he does deliver us. God will deliver you from great death. God will deliver you from great affliction. God will deliver you from great trouble. Amen. He does deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. It's not only what we are going through right now. The ones that we haven't even seen, the ones that are just ahead, the ones that are around the corner, the Lord will deliver us. He has a plan. He will deliver us from it all. Amen, amen. But he says something very interesting in verse 11. He said, you also helping together by prayer for us. That for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. In the Amplified, it says, you cooperate with us by your prayers, helping and laboring together with us. Thus, the lips of many persons turned towards God will eventually give thanks on our behalf for the grace, the blessing of deliverance granted us at the request of the many who prayed. That sounds like a mouthful, but it's very simple. Let me just say it to you this way. The Lord guaranteed our deliverance, but your prayers made it possible. Your prayers became the open doors through which that deliverance manifested. And at the end of the day, we will give thanks. That's all he's saying. At the end of the day, many who see what the Lord did in delivering us will give thanks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to see the key, the role that prayer plays. Help me, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. When you start calling prayer player, and you start calling prayer play, then you need help. I'm not sure what it is. I think it's a preacher I heard. It's a preacher I heard 2 days ago out of, I think it's Malawi, you know. And every, he said, when he said R, he said L. And that's just the way he talks. And, you know, of course, his people are so used to it, that condition. But I heard it so many times that I think something in my mind now started calling. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. That the role that your prayer plays. The role that your prayer plays. Amen. Your prayer, he says, it's helping, it is laboring together with us. Prayer is the open door to the supernatural. Amen. Amen. If you remember our studies out of Ezekiel 47, remember that when the prayer level of the saints, I want to say a few things to you today that the Lord quicken to my heart, and I think will be very, very helpful to you. And these things are not new, but we tend to forget a lot. And this morning, you know, I had one of those Holy Spirit moments when he reminded me, I was praying over some of these things and some of these points, and the Lord actually reminded me of a word that he spoke to me in 2007 regarding prayer. It's a very direct word in a visitation. I'm going to read it to you. That's why I brought that note so I can read it out directly out of there. But, you know, there's no way in the natural I would have remembered that word. And the Holy Spirit brought it back. I was hearing the words like it was just spoken yesterday. And he was repeating what he said in this visitation in September 2007. And I thought, I've heard that before. Where have I heard that before? And the Holy Spirit reminded me. You know, Jesus said, he will remind you.
Yes.
He said, he will remind you.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
These things are not in the mind. Where we start having a lot of problems in our walk with the Lord is when we lean so heavily on our mind. When we lean so heavily on the mind, we become very limited. Because the mind is limited. The mind is very limited. But he said he will remind you. He will remind you of all truth. He will remind you of the things that the Father has spoken to you. And this one I had certainly forgotten. And you see the interesting thing about this. So when he reminded me about it, I remember those. Yeah, you remember there was that visit. Remember there was those words. That's where this is coming from. And I started, when was that? I started pulling up all my recent, I knew it wasn't recently, I knew it was a long time ago, but I started searching through all my notes and eventually found the very old note from 2007 where it was written. I'm going to read it to you because it's very much in line with what the Lord has put in my heart to minister today. And so in Ezekiel 47 and verse 12, you remember, verse 8, it was that they said, "These waters pour out towards the eastern region and go down into the Arabah, the Jordan Valley, and into the Dead Sea. And when they enter into the sea of putrid waters, the waters will be healed and made fresh." The waters will be healed and made fresh. "And wherever the double river shall go, every living creature which swarms shall live, and there shall be a very great number of fish, because these waters go there, that the waters of the sea, the Dead Sea, may be healed and made fresh, and everything shall live wherever the river goes." Everything shall live wherever the river goes. So when Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and he was saying, even when we despaired of life, then we remembered God raises the dead. God raises the dead. See, the river of prayer, and we learned this during our convention weekend, our anniversary weekend. The river of prayer, when it rises to that level, the problem is to get it to rise. The problem is to get it to rise. And unfortunately, what we do as the church, as the body of Christ, what we do all the time is we live at the level of the sprinkle. We constantly live at the level of the sprinkle. And so then when we need life to be birthed forth, then we switch to this emergency mode and we want life. Unfortunately, what brings the life is the river. Is the river. Those sprinkles will not bring the life. No, it's not enough. If it doesn't rise to the, and unfortunately, this is how we are conditioned as God's people to pray. We pray at the level of this sprinkle all the time. You know, and he says here, everywhere this river goes, wherever the river goes, everything will live. And then in verse 12, he says, "And on the banks of the river, on both its sides, there shall grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaf shall not fade, nor shall their fruit fail to meet the demand." Oh, prayer works, my friends. Oh, prayer produces results, my friends. "Each tree shall bring forth new fruit every month. These supernatural qualities being because their waters came from out of the sanctuary, and their fruit shall be for food, and their leaves shall be for healing." Oh, hallelujah. "These supernatural qualities being because the waters came out of the sanctuary." These supernatural qualities being because the waters came out of the sanctuary. There is prayer that produces, and there is prayer that is redundant. There is prayer that produces, and there is prayer that is redundant. And what characterizes what differentiates them is not the volume, it's not the decibel of what's picking the prayer. You can pray louder than a thunderstorm, and that prayer is still redundant. You can pray loud and scream your head off until kingdom come, and that prayer is still redundant. And somebody else can just say, "In Jesus' name, life," and life comes. In Jesus' name, life, and life flows. It's not in the activity. Everywhere I turn now, everywhere, you know, especially YouTube, so you know, there's so many prayer meetings. And it saddens me desperately. There's nothing wrong with praying, but, you know, we don't understand what prayer is. We don't understand what many people think prayer is. When I have a problem, then I pray fervently. That's not prayer. Training yourself to pray emergency prayers. When the church runs into a wall, if that's when we then gather up the loins of our minds and then we marshal everything. We're ready to pray all night. We're ready to pray all day. We devote every day, every morning to prayer because we have a problem. There's nothing wrong with that, but the foundation that makes that work is the praying you did long before the problem showed up. The only thing that gives that foundation is the praying you did before that problem. If you did not pray before the problem showed up, this praying you are doing now is just gymnastics. It's just activity. The foundation, and you'll see that, I'll show you that. These things are so very important. And unfortunately, a lot of believers, especially in our nation, just don't understand these simple, basic things about how the supernatural works. We just feel like the supernatural power of God is like switch. We could just press switches. Just you press a switch and then God shows up. You turn off the switch and God leaves. When you are ready again, you turn on the switch, he comes. When you are done, you turn it off, he goes. No, that's not the way it works. It's a river. It flows. It flows. Hallelujah. It's not a pipe where you are just sprinkling water. No, it's a river. It flows. So out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living water. And this is said referring to the Holy Spirit. Because at that time the Holy Spirit had not been given. Well, now the Holy Spirit has been given. And one of the major ministries of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer is to help them pray. Is to help us pray, but not just to pray reactionary prayers. There's a difference between praying reactionary prayers and praying preemptive prayers. There are two totally different things. Preemptive prayers are the foundation. Preemptive praying is the foundation for reactionary praying. When you are strongly engaged in preemptive praying, when things happen, and then you add on reactionary praying. That flow, that spark, that miracle. But the foundation that actually opens the door for you to be able to produce power with reactionary praying is in preemptive praying. When there's nothing going on. When there's no emergency. There's no challenge, there's no difficulty, and yet you are praying fervently. Amen. That's called preemptive praying. Amen. There was no problem in Acts chapter 1. This is the foundation of the church. There was no problem in Acts chapter 1. And Jesus said to the disciples, he said to them, I want you to wait in Jerusalem. Wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you and you become witnesses. And then after Jesus left, as soon as Jesus left, the Bible says all the apostles went to the upper room. All of them, including the women, mother of Jesus, mother of John, mother of all of them. I said, in one accord praying, there was no problem. There was no problem. Pray, and there are some translations that say they prayed ceaselessly. They would not leave that upper room. See, the only reason many believers go to the upper room today is because there's a problem. We usually don't go to the upper room until there's a problem. And then we have all these gymnastics. Please, let the Holy Spirit minister to you as I'm speaking these things to you. Don't hear it as this. I want you to hear this as a call. The Lord is calling us. He's still calling the church. He's still calling us. Hallelujah. And I want you to take your place and play your part. Find your place. The Lord is calling us. Amen.
Amen.
So, prayer is the open door to the supernatural flow. Think about it. Nobody prophesied in the upper room. There was no single prophecy in the upper room. They were just praying, every day praying, every day praying. Now, sometime during the prayer, the Holy Spirit quickened the heart of Peter. And the Bible says he got up and said to the people, guys, you know, the Bible tells us that somebody should replace Judas who fell from grace. And he quoted the scripture. Say, so let's pray. They put forward two people. Let's pray. And then when they put it, then they prayed. And the Lord said, this is this one. And then they went back to praying. Every day, every day, every day. Praying, praying, praying. Prayer is a ministry. That's why in Acts chapter 6, I think it's verse 4, when, you know, they were trying to deal with certain challenges they had in the body, the apostle said, we'll appoint people to handle, but we will devote ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. See, they knew that was the foundation. They knew that's where they started from. They never departed from it. They knew it. That's where they, and every single challenge, every single difficulty that came against the church, the foundation to engage victory and to have supernatural deliverance, that foundation had already been laid in Acts chapter 1. They still continue to pray. But praying, waiting in the upper room, devoting themselves to praying, seeking the Lord. Guess what? By the time they came to Acts chapter 2 verse 1, nobody knew what was going to happen on the day of Pentecost. But suddenly the Holy Spirit was poured out. And that's the first time they prophesied. That's the first time they prophesied. Because as they were prophesying and praying and speaking in tongues, and everybody was hearing them, and this was a different kind of speaking in tongues, people were hearing them in their own languages. And they were hearing prophetically the things that God was declaring will happen. And they said, no, these people are drunk. And Peter said, no. This is what was spoken by Joel. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. See, this is the first time they prophesied. But long before they prophesied, they prayed. They prayed in one accord. In one accord. We can't even pray in one accord today. The church can't even pray in one accord. We can't even pray in one accord. In one accord. In one accord. Recently heard one minister say, this is not time to pray for unity, it's a time to pray for something. But are you kidding me? Oh my gosh. Ah, God. Without that unity, there's no blessing. The Holy Spirit was poured out when they were in one accord in Acts chapter 2 verse 1. When they were in one accord. In Psalm 133, he says, how beautiful, how pleasant it is for the brethren to be in one accord, to be in unity, to agree together. See, for there the Lord commands the blessing. There the Lord commands. Well, here you are praying over a blessing. But you say, no, we don't need one accord, but we are going to pray for blessing. But God commands the blessing when there's one accord. Hallelujah. We become so blinded. We become so confused, so blinded, so passionate and so sold out to our own mini agendas and mini revelations that is so difficult for us to really pay attention to scriptural and divine sequence and order. I heard that minister say, no, it's not time for unity. It's not time for unity. It's time to fight for. And I'm thinking, kidding me? Listen, that blessing you are asking for, you will not get it without unity. It's like a couple, a family praying, God bless us, God bless us. And God says, okay, be united, agree, come together and be one. No, Lord, bless us first, then we will be one. No, you... Do you understand that no blessing God gives you when you are not united, no blessing God gives you will remain. You lose it. You lose it all. Even if God pours all the blessings of heaven upon you and you are a leaking basket, you will lose it all. You will lose it all. I'm not the one saying it's in the word of God. People don't understand. A couple of months ago when we devoted time to prayer, one of the things we prayed very strongly about, and I know in one of those services, the Holy Spirit came and quickened, and it was a revelation he gave right there and then in the service, talking about the ark of the covenant, how they carried the ark, and that ark represented the blessing. And wherever the ark went, that's where the blessing went.
Yes.
And I remember that day in that service, my eyes just opened to it. And it became obvious to me, the church is responsible for any blessing that will come to a nation.
Yes.
The
Amen.
Church.
Amen.
Because we represent the ark.
Yes.
The ark of God, the presence of God.
Amen.
And so if the ark is not... If there is no unity in the church, there will be no unity in the nation. If there is no blessing on the church, there will be no blessing on the nation. This is very important. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God guarantees our deliverance, but it is the prayers of the saints that opens the door to that deliverance. It is not by human effort or labor, but by the workings of the Holy Spirit. It is prayer that connects us to the Spirit, to the supernatural flow. I read this last week. Let's read it again. In every generation, there are impediments, inhibitions, and obstacles to the preaching of the gospel and the advancement of the gospel of the kingdom of God. It is the power of prayer that removes and destroys these obstacles. It is the power of prayer. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6. I don't know if you've ever really valued prayer, all of us, as much as important as, I don't know that we've ever really understood the power of it, the value of it. But the Lord is calling us to do so, to begin to give it its place now. We need to understand it. We need to have a revelation of it. And it's not popular. It's not a popular thing. Do you know how many times? I mean, for years, we did what we call night of encounter. As those of us who even had, passion for praying, we had esteemed the place of praying. We had something we called night of encounter last Friday of every month. And, we eventually shut it down. The reason we shut it down is not popular. It's just always the same few people who show up to pray. No matter how much you announce it, people don't, they don't show. So we shut it down. Someone say, well, you can keep doing it. I mean, why don't you keep doing it even if nobody is showing? It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. Because unless we are not a church. See where it says there? Can you find that scripture? In Acts chapter, I was going to go there, but I may not have the time to get there. In Acts chapter 1, I'm not sure if it's verse 14. where it says the all. Is it verse 14? Look at this. This all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. This all. Men and women. This is, huh? It's not just women. It's not, thank you. It's not just, some people think prayer is for women. You are right. Thank you for that. They say if you call prayer meeting, it's only women who show. You know, men don't pray. Men deal with business. Are you kidding me? Yeah, let the women go do anything you say. Women will do it. Women will do it. To the point, in America, we've lost our spiritual spine because we have delegated everything to our wives. Have you heard about this? It is grandmothers who pray. When you hear the grandchildren, they say, my grandma. They say, my mother. How many times have you heard young people, young men, young women say, oh, the prayers of my dad. You don't hear it. You do not hear it. If you find one place where somebody said that, please call me. I've not found you one in America. It's always I have a praying mother. What about a praying father? What happened to the church? Jesus. And they said, no, you know, the men are working. Oh, really? So, they all continue. Let me read one or two verses. Translations of that scripture. Acts 1:14. Basic Bible English. They all with one mind gave themselves up to prayer. With the women. And Mary, the mother of Jesus. That is when he says with the women. It means the men first. All the apostles. Contemporary English version. The apostles often met together and prayed with a single purpose in mind. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Amen.
With a single purpose. When the apostles in our nation cannot even agree to pray together on one single purpose. And everybody believes they have the monopoly to what God really wants. They have the monopoly. Say, yeah, you do yours, I'll do mine. I have the monopoly, you don't. So the Lord will answer my prayers, but we are in the same nation. And we represent the body of Christ in this nation. like I was sharing with Pastor Tinu yesterday, and when revival broke out in Samaria, in different parts of the world, and they had a problem. The only way they could have found solution to that problem was to go back to Jerusalem where the apostles were. The apostles came together. They looked at the problem. They said, okay. They prayed. They saw the Lord. They said, okay, it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us. This is how we should deal with it. They all came together to do it. When the church is fragmented, the nation becomes fragmented. And when the nation is fragmented, the blessings of God cannot rest. They can't abide in that nation. Let's put it this way. When the church is fragmented, the nation is fragmented. And when the nation is fragmented, the blessing of God will be dissipated. So there are impediments, there are obstacles, there are inhibitions that in every generation, we haven't seen the last. This pandemic is an inhibition, you know what? But prayer, the Lord guarantees our deliverance through it. No obstacle will destroy us. No pandemic will swallow us up. The Lord guarantees our deliverance, but it is the prayers of the saints that open the door to that deliverance. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Then he answered and said unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you will become a plain, and he will bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. The Amplified Bible says in verse 7, for who are you, O great mountain of human obstacles? Who are you, O great mountain of human obstacles? Before Zerubbabel, who with Joshua had led the return of the exiles from Babylon and was undertaking the rebuilding of the temple, before him you will become a plain, a mere molehill, and he will bring forth the finishing gable stone of the new temple with loud shoutings of the people crying, grace, grace unto it. Grace. Somebody say grace.
Grace.
Somebody say grace.
Grace.
Prayer is what connects us to grace. Prayer is what connects us to the spirit. Prayer is what connects us to the supernatural. It's not human effort. Human effort has its place. It's not human labor. Human labor has its place. But if you want to live in the supernatural flow, it is prayer that connects us. There is no supernatural flow without prayer. There is no supernatural flow without prayer. It says in Isaiah 59:19, When the enemy shall come against you like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against you. The Spirit of the Lord will raise up. Prayer is what creates that standard of the Spirit of the Lord. When the enemy comes against you like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise the standard. Obstacles, inhibitions, and difficulties and tribulations and attacks, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. And what is it that opens the door to allow the Holy Spirit to raise up that standard? It is prayer. It is prayer. No matter what is going on in your life, no matter what is going on in your family, that child is not over yet. That child is not done with yet. God can restore that child. That man, that woman, they are not finished. God can restore them. Paul said, it is God who raised the dead. He raised the dead. Prayer will allow God to walk in our lives and bring to pass the things that he wants to do. Prayer creates the supernatural flow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Prayer. No matter how big the opposition is, no matter how bad and how terrible the enemy is, prayer. Prayer. We saw it last week. Herod, the Bible says, stretched forth his hand in Acts chapter 12 to vex many in the church. And he took James and he killed him. And the church went to sleep. The church went to sleep. Then he said, I'm going to do more. Since I did that one, I got away. I'll kill them until I kill the last one. So he went and picked the next one. Mind you, this James he killed. Can you flip back to Acts chapter 2 if you're putting that thing up for? I just want to show you this. Because when the Bible talks about those apostles who went to the upper room to pray and gather together, he actually lists the first three he lists: Peter, James, and John. I want you to see this. It's in Acts chapter 1. I can't remember what verse it is, but I'll find it for you. Peter, James, and John. 13, thank you. And when they were coming, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, and the rest of. But notice, Peter and James and John. So he killed James. Peter and James and John. He killed James and got away with it. Some say, oh, well, maybe that's the will of God. No. 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 God still had work for James. Peter and James and John. But he killed James. If God let him kill James, why didn't he let him kill Peter if it was his will? The only thing that was different was the church prayed. The only thing that was different was that the church prayed. No matter the obstacle, no matter the opposition, no matter the difficulty, no matter how bad the situation is, the Bible says, the Lord, I want you to look at this scripture. Let me read it real quickly. In Isaiah chapter 10, he said, verse 24, he says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, all my people that dwell in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian. He shall smite you with a rod. He will lift up his staff against you after the manner of Egypt. For yet a very little while, and the indignation shall cease, and my anger in their destruction. And the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge for him, according to the slaughter of Midian at the rock Oreb. And as his rod was upon the sea, so shall he lift up his rod after the manner of Egypt. Verse 27, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The Holy Spirit will raise up a standard. The Holy Spirit will raise up a standard. He will raise up a standard. You saw it happen in real time in Acts chapter 12. When the church began to pray, heaven went into action. Angels were dispersed. Do you know that story in Acts chapter 12? I don't have the time to go back there. That story in Acts chapter 12 ended, it wrapped up with Herod being eaten up by worms. Worms! Herod was eaten up by worms.
Yes.
Herod thought he was all in all. He thought outside of him there was no power. The Bible says he got up. He arrayed himself and made an oratory unto himself. And they say, oh, Herod, he's not a man, he's a god. He's not a man. And an angel went and struck him. And worms ate him up. Worms. The prayers of the saints. The prayers of the saints. The Spirit of God raised up a standard. And power changed hands. Power changed hands. Power changed hands. There was a shift. Hallelujah. There was a shift. Hallelujah. There was a shift.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. No matter what comes against you, children of God, I want you to be confident in your God. I want you to be confident in your God. Be confident in your prayer answering God. Hallelujah. All of us can pray. You don't have to be perfect to pray. Any of us can pray. I hope you are joining some of the teachings we're doing on Wednesdays where we're playing back some of them now, because some of those teachings, you just can't hear them one time. You need to hear them again. Even me that, you know, received some of the lessons and was privileged to share it, I'm still going back to hear it. Because you can't hear it just once. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We will devote ourselves to the ministry of the word and to prayer.
Amen.
We'll pray more than we have ever prayed. We'll pray more. We'll pray more. Not because there's an emergency. Not because there's anything wrong. No, 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 no. No, no, no. But we will devote ourselves to prayer.
Amen.
And this is where our breakthroughs are going to come. This is where our breakouts are going to come. Hallelujah. Oh, I long more. I long more for the days of all night praying. I long more for the days of all day, all service devoted just to praying. I long more for it. I long more for it. I pray many more people can be a part of that. Can be a part of that. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
the anointing, the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to say a few things here about preemptive praying. Because the church prayed in Acts chapter 1, when opposition arose against them in Acts chapter 4, all the foundational praying they did leading up to that opposition put them in position to call the Lord and say, Lord, look at what they are saying. Look at what they are saying, the rulers. It's not against us. This is what they are doing. It's not against us. It's against you and your son, Jesus. The Holy Spirit quickened. He quickened. One psalm, one of the psalms, way back psalms. Why do the people, why do the, what's that scripture? Why do the heathen rage? People imagine vain things. He who is sitting there would laugh. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit quickened it to them. Because of, see, this is why praying in the will of God is so powerful. This is why praying in the will of God is so powerful. This is why we need to learn to lean on the Holy Spirit. To lean on the Holy Spirit more and more and more and more. We have to lean on the Holy Spirit. when we come into prayer and we've been praying and we've been fellowshipping with the Lord in our times of praying and then, you know, we come to a place and opposition comes. You know, it won't be from the mind. You are trying to, what scripture is it that talks about? Okay, let's see. Let's write 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 scriptures. Okay, great. That's what I'm going to pray with. That's good. But let me tell you, when you are praying in that supernatural flow, even when you don't think about it, suddenly the Holy Spirit will bring one scripture that you have not thought about in your mind. He will say, do you remember Psalm 1 or Psalm 2? Say, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? It's against your holy child, Jesus. Do you see that prayer in Acts chapter 4? I'll show you real quick. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 4 verse 23. Being let go, they went to their own company, reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. You see this one accord? You see this one accord in multiple places? In the Acts of the Apostles, please don't overlook it. People are making mistakes and overlooking it. They lifted up their voice in one accord. Let me tell you, if in your family there is something that you need to accomplish and you are divided against about it, no matter how powerful that prayer is, no matter how powerful, you know, you can pray powerful. Oh, Jesus. And one of you can pray that way. The other one can pray. But if you are divided about it, forget its dissipation. It's a waste of time. That preacher said, we don't need unity. We need to fight for. I think what unity is what opens the heavens for you. Unity is what brings open heavens. It tells us that in Psalm 133. In one accord. In one accord. Can you imagine the apostles? One is praying about this. The other one is praying, no, I don't agree with what you are praying. This is how we're going to pray. I think I'm the one who has the revelation. I'm the one who has the prophecy. You pray your ignorant prayers. I'm the one praying with... You know, but they are praying to the same God. they are praying to the same God. they are quoting the same scriptures, but for two different things. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. This reminds me a lot, you know, of sometimes when the Lord deliberately puts he allows some obstacles on our way, and some, you know, two of us come there, we see the obstacles. One of us is praying that the obstacle will be removed. The other one is praying that God will use the obstacle to allow us to get to where we're going. There's a partial truth in what both of them are thinking. Can you imagine if they both come together and talk about it? Then it may dawn on them, maybe the Lord allowed this obstacle so that if we deal with it properly together, this obstacle will not bury us where we are. This obstacle will actually allow us to get to where we're going, right? But if they stay apart, they both want to get past this obstacle. Do you know both of them will be buried there? They will not get past it. Because they are both chosen in one accord, the Bible says. In one accord. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes we even live in the same cities and we can't get together just to agree on what's the mind of God about this, and how should we approach the Lord about this. Sometimes we live in the same house under the same roof. We can't even come together to agree. How does the Lord want us to address this? So many people are suffering unnecessarily because we will just not take the simple things of the word. And I know we have itching ears. People like things that sound really dramatic. You know, if I come here now and I tell you, you know, just give you some real dramatic things. On so-so day, something is going to happen, and it's going to happen on so-so street. And I give you, you'll be wearing a yellow hat. You'll be wearing black shoes and red dress. Man, that is going to go like a wildfire all over social media. Share, this one we share, that one we share. Share. Before you know it, 2 million views. Power. But if I say, just pray in one accord. If I say, just pray in one accord. Just be in one accord where you pray. Say, what is that? What is that? Don't forget. There's no, that's not Jim. I want Jim. Pastor, give me Jim. Okay. Jim, today is pray in one accord. No, I'm not sharing that. Some people will not even see, they will not even hear it. They are looking for Jim. This is your Jim today, straight from the word of God. Pray in one accord. Agree. Believers think agreement is a sign of weakness. It's not. Agreement is smart. You can get more done together than you will ever get done by yourself. Together. You bring, you marshal your forces. Because you bring different things to the table. But both of us, though, must be engaged. One person shouldn't say, well, it's your place to pray. It's my place to. Oh, no. No, you take care of the prayer. You are the one who does church. You do church. I will work 5 jobs. It doesn't work like that. It does not work like that. We have to pray together. We have to pray together. We have to agree together. We have to bring everybody, bring the children together. Pray. Pray together. Read the Bible together. Say, let's read. Let's read in some this. Let's read Luke this, John this. Read together and then pray together. Agree together. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. This isn't sounding jim. It's not one of those. You'll not see 1 million views on this one. But it's the word of God. It is the word of God. There are very simple answers that the Lord has to a lot of mysteries going on in the lives of God's people right now. Very simple answers. My question is, will they hear it? Do they want to hear it? Do they want to hear it? You know, and when you have, you know, we just like to make this thing so jim, you know, eschatology, you know, when you know, understand the end times, you know what the sequence, there's a point where something is going to be. And then after that happens, that wait, let's not go too far to the end time. Let's just deal with where we are right now. Just where we are. Let's just agree where we are. Because if you and I don't survive where we are, we will not get to that end times. Let's make it through here today. Let's just get through today. How can we get through today? Agree. Agree. Let's pray. Let's stop fighting. Why are we fighting? Let's come together. We're brother and sister. Let's hold hands. Let's pray. Don't say, well, yeah, there's a time for love, there's a time for hate. Not between you and me. There's never a time for hate between you and me. there's a time for hate for something else, for something. Not even for people. We're not supposed to hate people.
Right.
We're not supposed to hate people. I don't care who they are. They may even act like devils. We are not supposed to hate them. There is a false theology going on around. We are not supposed to hate God's people.
No.
We hate the world and what the world represents. We hate the worldliness and we hate the garment that is soaked in unrighteousness. But we don't hate the people.
No.
We love the people.
Amen.
If the worst sinner needs a bottle of water, we give them a bottle of water.
Amen.
In love. In love.
Amen.
Don't get so deep that the simple things of the word of God, you can't practice. Why do you have to always be the one who's so bombast? Why do you always have to be the one who brings the company down? Who hurts the productivity of the company? Why do you always have to be the one that everybody has to gather? No, now, the rest of the people in the office, they don't know how to pray. You are the one who says you go to church every Sunday, you know how to pray, but you are the one who is hurting what everybody is doing in the company. And you signed up to work in the company. If you don't want to work in the company, resign. But don't get there and say, I have a revelation that, you know, anywhere that the sole of my feet shall touch, the Lord has given to me as my inheritance. Okay, well, this one is not your own. Help this man who owns this business. Help him make some profit. That's why he planted this business. Hallelujah. And the nation, Holy Spirit, thank you. The nation. Do what I did a few days ago. Get your dictionary and look it up. Check what is the definition of a theocracy. What is the definition of a democracy? Compare them both. They mean two separate things. They are two separate kinds of government. You cannot live in a democracy and insist on having theocracy. It doesn't work. The Lord can back that up only so far. He can help you. It's like you work for an ungodly CEO. The company, CEO of your company is is an ungodly person. But then you say, I'm praying because I'm in this company. I insist that everybody, including the CEO, must pray every day when we come to work. There's only so much the Lord can back you up on that. You can pray before you get fired. You can pray. You pray. Now, we have a problem. If you want to pray, and the CEO posts a note and says, nobody's allowed to pray, hey, then you know, okay, this is not for me. I'm leaving. But you can't, this is a company. Now, when you start your own company, make it a rule. Everybody who works for you must pray. Fine. But it's so different. Folks, I don't, help me, Holy Spirit. I help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Okay. Let's go back to prayer. I have about 5 minutes here to close. I know, say something to you about praying. Praying in the will of God is one of the most powerful things that any believer can learn to do. Praying in the will of God. And praying in the will of God requires that we lean on the Holy Spirit. We learn to lean on the Holy Spirit. As long as we are in this world, Jesus said, in the world, you have tribulation. You can't pray. Lord, it's like somebody who went to the late Kenneth E. Hagin several years ago said, you know, I want you to pray for me that I will never have another problem. The man of God said, the only way you will not have another problem is that you die and go to heaven. He said, as long as you stay in this world, you will have to deal with problems. See, it may sound deep and spiritual when you pray that you will not have another problem. But you are not praying in the will of God. God can't answer that prayer. God cannot. You may feel like it's very deep and strong for you to, or somebody can even prophesy on you. You will never have another problem in your life. It sounds good. You may post that thing everywhere. I hope you know, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trusting God that the light, whoever hears it, just take the word of God and check it out. If it's so, if it's not so, throw it out. But we have to learn to pray in the will of God. Learn to pray in the will of God. Lean on the Holy Spirit.
When I was getting ready for the service, as I prayed this morning, and I started to hear in my spirit, America sings, America talks, America plays, America walks, America laughs, but America does not pray. And I started to hear it in my spirit. Who's going to help my people pray? And it was so familiar. I said, God, I've heard this before. Where? And the Holy Spirit said, and so I went and took it up. You see how old the note is? If you can zoom in with that camera, zoom in a little bit here. See how old it tapped us. If I hold this and I don't hear it carefully, all those pages are going to fall apart. But it's right here, September 21, 2007, 5 a.m. in the morning. The Lord said, who will help my people? Who is going to teach my people to pray in this country, he said. America does not pray. America talks. America eats. America laughs. America walks. America plays. America sings. America preaches. but America does not pray.
Okay.
Who is going to help my people? Who is going to teach my people to pray? And he said a few other things that were very powerful. And I must say, you can be sure if I forgot the first part, I have forgotten the last part. So all of that, I just got reminded this morning. America does not pray. And if the Lord said that in 2007, we weren't praying in 2007. We weren't praying. Now somebody may say, but what do you mean we're not praying? We pray. Yeah, we're praying. But you know what? Yes, we don't know how to pray. We haven't given prayer its place. We haven't given prayer its rightful place. All of us, the preacher included, all of us, we haven't esteemed prayer. We haven't given it its place. And as I close today, obviously I've been ministering for about an hour, at least more than an hour. So I think I should wrap this up and close. The Lord is calling us to pray, to change our approach to prayer, to esteem prayer as the first thing. Paul said in Ephesians 6 from verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication for all the saints in the spirit, and be alert, he said. Be alert. Let me close out there. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always, he said in the Amplified, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season. Don't just pray emergency times, emergency prayers. Don't just pray when you suddenly hit the wall. Don't just pray when things are not going right. Don't just pray when you need help. No. Make prayer a ministry. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the spirit. That means being led by the Holy Spirit. being led by the Holy Spirit. This is one of the reasons you can't just, when you are praying in the spirit, you are praying, being led by the, you can't just get a prayer book, and there's nothing wrong with reading, praying from a book, but you can't just stay there and limit prayer to that. Let that be like a guide that helps you start. But once you get that, okay, you even read some part of the prayer, praise God, then you have to switch to opening up your own self to letting the Holy Spirit, because as you make that switch, then the Holy Spirit starts bringing certain things into your heart that you didn't think about, and that was not in that notebook. He starts bringing things like he did to them in Acts chapter 4. When those people, suddenly they said, why are the heathen? Why is the heathen raging and the people imagine? He brought that all the way from, I think, Psalm 2. They didn't think about it before they started praying. But he brought it and he quickened that prayer. And suddenly, it's almost like the Holy Spirit told them, this moment where you are, Psalm 2 is happening right here. Pray from Psalm 2. You know, this is praying in the spirit, being led. There are times you pray because you are praying in the will of God. And suddenly as you are praying, the Lord starts, you know, you may say some things are some way, some things are, you know, fixed somewhere. Somebody's giving you something to pray from, and which is good, because use that as a bit. But as you are doing that, suddenly somewhere the Holy Spirit brings this thing. I'm telling you, I mean, this just even this morning. Even this morning, I started to hear it. America sings. America talks. America preaches. America plays. Do you know some of the best preachers in the world are in this nation? Do you know that? I'm not going to read more here.
Some of the greatest preachers in the world are here in our country. America preaches. America walks. America plays. America sings. America eats. But America does not pray. America does not pray. The Lord is calling us to pray. Amen. To pray more and more and more. To esteem the power and the place of prayer. Hallelujah. To learn about praying right. To learn, to give it its place. To give it its place. To be committed to praying. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen.